Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back to another episode of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts at GUAP. We are here with episode 82 with Neil DeMoss of Field of Schemes. He's been covering public subsidies and how they impact pro sports teams for about 25 years now, basically about as long as the A's have been searching for a new stadium. So we thought this guy would be the best guy to have to talk about rendering. So Neil, how are you doing?
Boy, are my arms tired. Yeah. I'm doing okay. It's been quite a last few weeks, but as you say, it's been also been a lot, quite a last 20, 25 years. So
yeah,
just, you know, another twist in this endless saga.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah, I'm your host, Alex Espinosa, with my co-host, Hal Gordon. And I was going to ask you, big picture, is there any saga that's kind of compares to this? I mean, I believe the first time they were looking for a stadium and had some juice behind it was 2001 in Uptown Oakland, and Mayor Jerry Brown shot it down. And here we are, you know, 23 years later, still looking for a stadium. Does anything really compare to this in North America that you've seen?
Man, in terms of length, possibly not. In terms of the amount of time that the A's have been talking about building something somewhere, I can't think of anything else that compares. You know, there's other things that have gone on an awfully long time, obviously. You know, the Rays situation has been going on for a long time. And, you know, in terms of like teams like sort of beating their heads against situations year after year after year, the Twins and the Marlins both did it about 10 years straight. The Twins are probably actually longer than that. I don't think there's anything that sort of had this like flare up, and you know, we're talking about San Jose and then it goes away. Oh, we're talking about Fremont and then it goes, oh, we're talking about Oakland, you know. It really is incredibly remarkable, and you know, I would say it's amazing to see it ending now, but I don't necessarily feel like this is the end. You know, it feels like this is another stage that wherever things wind up, it's, you know, there's still a lot of chapters left to go before we get to the end of this book.
Absolutely. And Neil, so you know, we all saw the renderings. I think that there's some parts of them were pretty intense, and I mean, they're definitely Vegas. I didn't understand the armadillo reference. There's no armadillos in Nevada, but certainly that screen is something. It's something. It seems like it'd be tough to see from the first base side. It would be an intense situation if it was right behind you and over you, but you know, that's Vegas, baby. But where does that leave them? Once you have a render, that means you're able to build the stadium, right? Easy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I've started calling these renderings vaporecture, which is that, you know, the initial design sometimes bears a vague resemblance to what's ultimately built, but oftentimes does not, right? You know, it's just something to sort of get attention and get people excited. And yeah, I mean, the renderings are definitely a lot. You know, I guess the armadillo thing is because the different segments of the roof kind of look like bands on an armadillo. Let's not forget that the original verbal description, right, was that they were going to somehow reflect baseball pennants.
Yeah,
and that made even less sense. So armadillo at least is sort of creeping in the right direction, you know. Stegosaurus, something in there. But you know, again, you know, they needed to come up with something. There were two things you wanted them to come up with here, right? You wanted them to come up with something exciting and something that seemed realistic and sort of explained how it was going to work. And they did one of those things and not the other at all, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got this thing that if it can be built, will certainly be striking. And that scoreboard that is somehow curved and attached to a fabric roof and you can't see it from the whole, you know, first base side, but you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, the sort of thing that I would love to see built just to see how well or poorly it turns out. But you know, I mean, first
it's
of all,
like
that's
the sphere.
An awful lot.
I feel like they're going to kind of be like the sphere, you know, they saw the sphere. So then I think John Fisher was quoted in the Susan Slusser's article in the San Francisco Chronicle being like, oh, I was blown away by this U2 performance. So maybe he was like, oh, we can do that here in the baseball stadium. But it's like,
I mean, I'll give them that the sphere sounded like a dumb idea and it is what it claimed to be, right? They managed to build a sphere, but a sphere isn't that complicated, right? Yeah. I mean,
but if it's only in right field, they have right field and left field and center field going, you know, they only,
the sphere is pretty simple. And I just, there's so much about these renderings that are just, you know, so bizarre, you know, the sun setting in places that the sun is not meant to set. The fact that it's, you know, takes it's standing somehow in this vast void when it really is going to be crammed into a corner of the site along with the, right, the development. I mean, it seems like they just went to, you know, Bjark Ingels and said, give us something cool looking, and this is what they got. But I mean, I still don't understand how they're going to fit this on 9 acres, even, you know, if you say, well, you know, somehow it will fit along with, wasn't there a point where they were saying that they were going to use part of the rest of the site for the roof to retract, but of course the roof isn't retracting now.
Yeah.
Okay. So it really does seem like the story changes every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Neil, I knew that you and I were going to be fast friends because I think I noticed that you noticed the same thing that I did, which is in the seemingly AI generated crowd, there were a bunch of fans waving flags that were just solid green, and I didn't post anything about it. I just noted and I was like, that's funny. Neil, would you like to explain what that solid green flag is?
Well, you know, I mean, I've looked at a lot of renderings, okay? And the first thing I always do is, what are the fans doing? Because, you know, there's only so much clip art that they have. And oftentimes they're holding flags. I don't know why. I guess because it looks cool. No matter the sport, they're usually holding giant flags. Even if there's a middle of a play going on and the flags will obscure people from seeing, they're still holding flags. So I'm like, oh, okay, let's see what the flags say. And they're just green. So I Google green, solid green flag. And it was the flag of Muammar Gaddafi's Libya. You know, imposed during the time when he was in charge there. So I guess it's possible that, you know, when they're saying that the Vegas stadium will bring tourists, that he's talking about time travel.
Worldwide, not just the whole country, but the whole world. Yeah.
Gaddafi family's got a lot of money to spend. You know, they probably stole a lot of money before they were thrown out. But, you know, one of the things that the A's claimed that, the reason why they couldn't show us these pictures for a long time was the Bally's wasn't ready, right? And they didn't want to show us something that was going to end up that we're going to have to throw out anyway. And, you know, they've at least said, hey, here's what we want to build. But of course, the big thing that, you know, we were told, we can't see these renderings because, you know, we need to know how the Tropicana looks and where's the Tropicana.
Yeah.
I mean, from these renderings, the stadium looks like it's plumb in the middle, right smack in the middle again of that plot of land.
Maybe that's what the embargo was for. Right? They released it and then claimed a few minutes later, oh, we meant to embargo this. Maybe the embargo was to let Bally's have a chance to get ready with their renderings, because those surely are coming soon.
You know, the Gaddafi regime was always good at getting around embargoes. So
oh,
Well, one thing I noticed about this set of renderings, like the last ones from last May, there was more aerial views. You know, you could kind of have a better feel for how much space of the 35-acre lot it would take up. From this, they're like street view and they're inside the stadium where the whole stadium's in focus. So you can't really see how it spaces the whole lot. But there's no way this thing fits in 9 acres, right? I just, that was my initial thought, was there's no way this thing fits in 9 acres, right?
I don't think so. 9 acres is really small. I think even Wrigley Field is bigger than 9 acres or right around that. And you know, you're talk I, it's unclear what's going to be holding this roof up, right? It seems like there's some sort of truss work that holds the fabric, but you know, you need something that's going to actually hold the roof, right? To support the weight. That's how engineering works. And it can't just be held up by the ground or the seats below it or something like that. So, I mean, you know, you look at something like the Marlins Stadium, right, which has re that retractable roof, and you see, you watch it, even watching the games, there's these enormous posts, right, that are holding that up. Again, it's a little lighter if you're using fabric, but you know, it doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense. And no, I don't think it can fit on 9 acres, but I could be wrong. You know, there could be some way to do it. But like you said, if they're trying to show this is going to fit with the Bally's development, then it would have been nice to see an image of it with the Bally's development, so we'd actually see how it's going to work, right? I mean, this again, it's not at all unusual to release these kind of things. It is a little bit unusual to release these kind of things when you've been asked these questions for 3 months, and then you release something that doesn't answer any of the questions.
And
So, I
another.
mean, listen, if they build this, it looks great. You know, if they build this, I think, you know, it fits in with Vegas. It looks like the Sydney Opera House, but then again, it's across the street from, you know, the Statue of Liberty anyway, right? Like, it sort of fits. It's not my style, but it sort of fits the Vegas style. But, you know, like, let's talk a little bit about, is it going to be built? You know, they're getting 300 and is it $380 million, maybe more in public funds, but like, you know, compared to what other teams are asking for, that's almost chump change now. And there's like huge gaps in funding. How do you think they are? Where do you think they are in funding?
I mean, Fisher, I think this was in Slusser's article, right? Where he was saying that it was 380, it's 380 up front in public money. There's like about another 200 or something that comes later in terms of tax breaks. So, you know, he can use that to pay himself back. But then there's 500 million that he's putting up supposedly from his family money, which I don't know if he actually has access to that or not, you know? And then there is 200 million, I think,
Another
in.
500 million from private investors. They're looking, they're seeking to
Well,
work
yeah,
out.
I was gonna look at that. It's 200 million in debt, right? So, which I guess he needs to borrow that and pay that back. And then 500 million from private investors, which private investors in what, right? I mean, is he going to sell part of the team and get money from that? That seems, why would anybody want to invest $500 million in a team and then turn around and you owe $500 million extra in on the stadium? I mean, maybe, depending on how the you know, revenues break down. Or is he talking about selling, getting $500 million investment in the stadium itself, which also doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, the more he explains, it feels like the more questions there are. And again, it's possible that there's some financing plan out there where he's going to work this out. But you know, it's March now. It's been 9 months since he got the public money approved, and his plan for the rest of it is still, we're working on that. And you would think that if he had a more concrete plan, he would have said it by now. The other is issue, of course, is that is can this even be built for, you know, 1.5 billion or whatever it is, right? I mean, this roof design seems, again, gorgeous in a bonkers kind of way, but I don't have any idea how you would even know what it's going to cost, right? Because nobody's ever built anything like this before.
And Neil, you've also reported like. So the ace figure they go with is 380 million, 380 million of public tax money. I think that was just so they could say, oh, we're getting more money from Vegas than Oakland. I think the number was 375 there. But in the article with Susan Slusser, it was 350. So I don't know. But then you've reported it's actually closer to 600 million. So I would love to, if you could explain the 600 million figure that you arrived at, and and what you think the actual cost for Nevada taxpayers is going to end up being if this thing is built.
Yeah, my understanding, again, is it's $380 million up front, right, in just straight cash. But then later they get the benefit of not paying property taxes and some other, you know, taxes that they're going to get kicked back. So that's just as valuable to Fisher and just as much of a cost to Nevada taxpayers as if it were money up front. So the subsidy is $600 million. Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean that he has $600 million in cash that he can just, like, you know, put in a suitcase and hand over to whoever's going to build this thing. But it does mean that, you know, if he wants to take the 380 he's getting and find 220 somewhere else, that later on he will get the benefit of not paying taxes and he can, you know, recoup some of that 220. But it's, you know, that's the difference is, like, you know, there's a great researcher named Judith Grant Long who did a book on trying to figure out what the full cost is of, you know, counting all the hidden costs of sports stadiums. And her estimate, I think, was that the average stadium costs about 40% more than whatever the claim is for the public cost. And that's, I'm trying to do math in my head. 40% of 380 is about 160 or so. Yeah, it's pretty close in terms of that.
Yeah, 160. Yeah, about.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It really is. I think kind of shocking. How much that they rolled over and gave him. You know, I we followed this really closely. In Oakland, and just watching how quick they approved all this money in Nevada blew me away. I think one thing that I noticed, you know, being in California, all of our state legislature, you know, everyone in the state legislature, that's their full-time job. They do it all the time and they have a lot of staff. And there didn't, you know, these part-time legislatures in Nevada, the Speaker of the House, he's like an attorney for, I think he's either an attorney or he runs car dealerships or something. I don't even know, but it's nuts. Like, and they didn't seem to have any staff because the people presenting it to them, the experts presenting it to them, were literally the A's lobbyist. I was just like, you don't have anybody, you know, you don't have like a congressional research somebody or other it was just shocking seeing this amount of money just go out the door. Crazy.
But that's not unusual, right? Even in places that have full-time legislatures, right? I mean, it was shoved through at the last minute with very little discussion. And when the Buffalo Bills got their money from New York State, New York State has a regular, you know, full-time legislature and all that. But it was the same thing where it was like, okay, here, you're going to approve this, right? And everybody sort of said, I don't know, what does leadership say? And then they just voted for it. And there was no, you know, nobody did any economic studies, nobody did hearings, nobody did any of that. So it really does come down to, like, you know, how much pull both the political leadership and the business leadership has, you know, if they can sort of, you know, rally the troops and say, okay, we're going to get everybody on board here. And everybody's going to say, okay, fine. We're on board. And it was a fight, right? I mean, this thing did go into an extra session. It did, you know, I remember watching all that stuff, you know, there was constant back and forth about, you know, what are you going to give us? But I think everybody knew in the end, right? It was like, about naming your price, right? It wasn't about, is this going to get approved? It was, okay, what do we have to give you?
I just was nuts. It's like, okay, so we're never going to make you pay taxes, but you're going to do good things for the community. You're going to give us a community skybox. I'm like, dude, just ask them to pay their taxes. And then you can use whatever you want with that money. You can do whatever you want with the money. You don't have to take it in an in-kind, you know, whatever. Anyway, oof. It is nuts.
Yeah, well,
Alex, I'm getting mad.
No. Go. I've got something to say. Go for it, Al. Go for it. Yeah. What do you got?
You know, I think I wonder. Seeing, you know, we'll see what happens with the Bears and the White Sox. But I wonder if these much more, you know, these solidly liberal. I mean, I guess I was shocked about the New York giveaway to the Bills. I thought for certain they would be a little bit smarter, but you know what? New York politicians have confused me a lot recently, but you know, it could be, I wonder if a lot of politicians, sort of these blue or these more liberal politicians have started to kind of figure out that this is just giveaways to billionaires. You know, I'm not sure that Illinois is ready to roll over for Jerry Reinsdorf. And certainly what was being offered in Oakland always seemed to me to be like, hey, this offsite infrastructure stuff, we're going to do this anyway. You know, hey, this tax district on this big parking lot, the only way this big parking lot's getting redeveloped is if this thing sort of happens anyway. You know, it also wasn't the sales tax. You know, the sales tax was still going to be going back to Oakland and California. They weren't giving that up. I wonder, you know, if do you see sort of liberal politicians standing up more to these teams? And if so, you know, are we just going to see these teams leaving these areas, like the A's leaving Oakland, potentially the White Sox leaving Chicago? Or do you think these other places are still going to roll over?
Yeah, I've been waiting for like this groundswell of either the populace or elected officials, right, to sort of start pushing back on this stuff. And it has happened occasionally, you know. I got called in to testify before Congress once because Henry Waxman and Dennis Kucinich, you know, were holding hearings on tax use of tax exempt bonds. You know, so and you will get this sort of weird, not really a coalition, but like occasional progressives, right, who are like upset, why are we giving all this money to rich people when we could be spending it on other things? And then occasional like libertarian conservatives, right, who are like, we just don't like spending tax money on anything. So certainly we don't like spending it on this. Right. So, but the problem is that it seems to be less who's in power that determines these things than just the fact that anybody in power sort of sees it as their business supporting local businesses. Right. And that's just the fact that you have local businesses, and especially, you know, ones that are prominent, like a sports team, have such sway. And, you know, I imagine that when you're mayor, you know, everybody around you, if you're, you know, going to parties with lobbyists and other elected officials and business leaders and all that, right, are saying to you, you got to figure out a way of doing something for these people, right? You got to get something done. So J.B. Pritzker, right, the governor of Illinois, who's a Democrat, is saying, well, you know, really don't see giving a lot of tax money to this, although he always says, unless we get something back for it, which is a big caveat.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, if you look at Brandon Johnson, right, is the mayor of Chicago, who's just elected, and who's a big, yeah, you know, progressive, who was, you know, I remember when I was out in Chicago during the election, the run-up to the election, and everybody was really excited about, you know, progressives were really excited about, you know, this is somebody who's not going to be the kind of, you know, sort of corrupt centrist mayor that Chicago has had a lot, that's just going to, you know, roll over for businesses. And one of the first things he does is say, you know, oh, this will be really great if we can, you know, get a bunch of public money for the Bears and the White Sox. I think part of it is it's mostly state money. So he's like, well, that's great for me because I'm not the one paying for it. But, you know, you would think there's a principle of, I don't want my constituents to be paying for this through their state taxes or their city taxes. But again, that's just not how local electeds think. And it's amazing the degree to which, you know, people who are, you know, talk the talk before they're elected, you know, just roll right over once they're in office. And like, well, you know,
well, even with the A's, like the initial round of questioning when they were in front of the Nevada legislatures, Fabian Doñate really sticks out to me. He was really asking tough questions and putting up this front, but then he approved it anyways, you know, like 3 days later. There was a long weekend, you know, enough time to maybe grease up some palms or whatever. But I mean, were you surprised at how quickly they approved this, especially after getting, it seems like they got burned by the Raiders, right? By $750 million in taxpayer money.
Yeah,
of course they got an assistant, I mean, Sheldon Adelson, and
well, not
the A's
to
don't
Jeremy
really have
Quero.
Yeah. I mean, were you surprised? I mean, after the Raiders, they still approved this, and you know,
Seattle got burned by the Seahawks right after they got burned by the Mariners, and you know, lots of places do a whole series of them in a row. you know, New York built an arena for the Nets right after they built stadiums for the Yankees and the Mets. And so I wasn't totally surprised at that. I was a little surprised after it didn't get passed in the regular session, I thought, wow, you know, if they had figured all this out and had their ducks in a row and, you know, had lined up the votes, then they would have gotten this done in the regular session, you know. Mm-hmm. So if this is going to special session, there must really be a chance that there's going to be opposition. But I think they just didn't have their time, you know, to get it together. I think it was just like, okay, well, we'll figure out. And I forget what it was. It was something that the governor had vetoed of Nevada that you know, enraged the Democrats in particular. And so there was sort of like a, you know, oh, okay, well, we're not going to give you your stadium now. So a little bit surprised the way it went down, but again, not really, because it's been through so many of these things. There's so many times that I've been like, oh man, this one, you know, clearly is going to be the one that's going to, you know, crash and burn. And then somehow, you know, somebody starts counting votes in the legislature and starts saying, okay, we need to peel off 7 bodies. What can we give them? And, you know, as soon as it's just about counting votes, then you can always find some way of buying people off. I remember the Marlins deal. There was some, there was a county commissioner who was basically like, I need something for my district if I'm going to vote for this. And the next day she got
right. her district. Get it. Yeah. Well, Neil, I want to ask you almost pitch you on something. So I think if you've been paying attention to sort of what's going on still left in Oakland is the fans have really been trying to organize, figure out ways to at least, you know, celebrate themselves, show that this is not right. I think at the beginning, a lot of people in baseball were saying like, no one's going to the stadium anyway. But now people, I think the media has, you know, kind of coalesced around John Fisher's a dummy. And if this doesn't happen, it won't be surprising. And all these fans here, you know, have been fighting back. And we, you know, they're but for the, you know, grace of God, go my fandom. This is, I think, a long shot, but we've been talking a lot with the teachers union in Nevada. They're trying both sort of a lawsuit and a referendum method. The referendum has a long way to go. They need a ruling from the Nevada Supreme Court that like at least affirms that like this wording is okay, so they could start collecting signatures. And they need a whole lot of money. What the plan sort of, I think, that I've talked with the Nevada Teachers Union is, and that I've spoken with a lot of fans is, you know, we're having another night, and on opening night, another night of sort of protest where we're all going to just hang out in the parking lot and have a big boycott. And at that night, the schools over stadiums that Nevada Teachers Union is going to be in the parking lot asking A's fans to donate whatever they would have spent in the stadium that night for this referendum. You know, again, this is a long shot. Basically, sort of everything needs to go right. But if they do, you know, in some sense, you know, this wouldn't be the ultimate transformational moment. But in some sense, I think that this would be a great story of a team. You know, the threat is always we're going to leave, and what this would be is fans of the team that is leaving coming together and sort of pooling their money against the billionaire and trying to fight back. So, you know, referendums, you know. It's definitely not a sure thing with referendums for stadium funding, whereas like I think the legislature can always be sort of bought off. You know, when you have the referendums, that's not necessarily the thing. Do you think that would be sort of a big moment for stadium funding if A's fans got together, funded this referendum, and put it on the ballot in a different state?
Yeah, I can't think of an example that exactly went down like that. And I think certainly everything the A's fans are doing is making a case to Major League Baseball, if not necessarily to John Fisher, right, that Oakland is still a good baseball market and that the problem is John Fisher and is not Oakland, right? So, I mean, look, there's still a whole bunch of things that can go wrong with the Vegas move, right? The referendum could knock it down. The lawsuit could knock it down. Fisher could not be able to find his $500 million in investors. The price of the stadium could go up. They might not be able to figure out a way to fit it on the site. There's, you know, a million different things that, you know, the economy could change and suddenly, you know, it doesn't look like as good a deal as it, I mean, not that it looks like a great deal now, but it could look even worse. So there's all kinds of ways that this could collapse, right? So you certainly want, if you're an A's fan, you know, you want to be positioning yourself and the city as, okay, if Fisher's not going to, you know, taking the team to Las Vegas, we want either for him to come back here or for him to sell it to somebody local, right? And Major League Baseball has certainly done that before. Look what he did with the Giants, right? You know, the Giants were ready to move to Tampa Bay, and they did not because Major League Baseball decided, okay, we think it would be better. We got another guy who wants to buy it, buy the team, and we think that it would be better to keep the team there. So that's a possibility.
Ironically enough, John Fisher was involved in that group.
I was going to say there's only so many billionaires in the world, but there's just a lot right now. There were only so many then. But then the other thing, of course, is that if they do move, you want to be in a position to be the Cleveland Browns, right? Where,
yeah,
okay, we want to be first in line for an expansion team. In either case, the problem then is what do you do to get the team, right? Whether it's to get the team back, what do you do for, you know, the new owner or for the owner of expansion team or whatever, is Howard Terminal still on the table? Is something at the Coliseum a possibility? But, you know, you don't want Major League Baseball to come back and say, congratulations, you've got the team back, or you've got a new team. If you build a $3 billion stadium with a diamond encrusted roof. So that's the danger there. And again, you do it. But I think it's a worry that, you know, it's only half the battle to get a franchise. Then you have to win the terms on which you're going to get the franchise.
Well, I think this fight has been, you're right. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, get to that. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. My view about this whole thing is fan groups, you know, there's no like playbook, I think, for fan groups to fight back when, you know, they just say, fine, screw you, we're going to take more money from this other team. And so, you know, whatever A's fans can figure out to do and whatever we can do, you know, and if that's honestly, like, if that's, if collectively we raise $500,000, $1 million, like compared to what Nevada's offering, I mean, That's a great deal to mess John Fisher, I think. So I really hope, I really hope we can do that. And, you know, there's some big donors out there in the Bay Area who I think, you know, if they see A's fans putting their money where their mouth is, I think will fall in behind us. So you're absolutely right. I don't want to be in the situation where we sort of win them back and then are given a $3 billion bill. That's not what I want at all. But at this moment, you know, I just kind of, if I know that I helped to cause John Fisher headaches that cost him $10 million, you know, then I'll die happy.
I just hope there can be another in-stadium event at some point this year, if only so that we can again watch the national TV announcers try to avoid mentioning what everybody is doing.
What's that actually happening?
My favorite part of 2023.
That was great. What our plan might be now is for a boycott is to really limit how many people go in on opening night. And then maybe like in the fifth inning, everyone just lays in on their horn. And so it'll be an empty stadium. And then all of a sudden it just sounds like every car alarm goes off at the same time. That's our plan right now. So
I'll tune in for that game.
I'm going to ask about one more topic before we let Neil get out of here. He's been really gracious with his time. Thanks so much. It's just in the past week, Utah legislators passed, I think, $900 million in a subsidy, right, for MLB Stadium and $900 million for an NHL stadium, I believe. Those were the numbers. I don't know if they've changed, but are they a real Something threat like that, at yeah. all to attract the A's, or is it too late in the process for them? Or do you feel like, hey, that could be a whole other Pandora's box opening here?
You know, I don't know anymore. I didn't think Las Vegas was really a legitimate threat, right? I mean, Las Vegas is tiny for a baseball market, especially in terms of TV market size. And that matters an awful lot, even with, you know, the collapse of cable. It still matters an awful lot for baseball finances. So, you know, it doesn't seem – it's hard for me to picture the A's moving to Salt Lake City. Even if they build a new stadium there, it's hard to picture John Fisher getting excited about moving there. But I don't know anymore, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the problem, and I have worked for billionaire fail sons before, and I have realized that it's important to keep in mind that they're not doing things for rational reasons, right? You know, they're doing things for weird reasons having to do with ego and insecurity and, like, you know, wanting to be loved and all this stuff. So, you know, if the mayor of Salt Lake City came to John Fisher and said, you know, we're going to give you 9.5 acres, you know, yeah. would he be, you know, his head be turned? I honestly have no idea. Again, Salt Lake City is not, you know, one of the cities I would consider to be at the top of the list for a baseball market. But you know, who knows what
Utah fans are nuts though. Utah fans are like really intense. I don't know. I feel
not,
like
not
I,
they
I,
would
yeah,
be,
yeah, yeah.
Not like they wouldn't be good baseball fans. It's just a small market, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, yeah. it's really, especially compared to, you know, Oakland, you know, even, you know, having like, I don't know, 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 4 or whatever of the fans in the Bay Area following you, and potentially having more, if you ever actually put a good team on the field, that's, you know, that's still a ton more than you would have in Salt Lake. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but I hesitate to say.
But who knows at this point?
It's not a threat because, you know, at this point, you know what an enraged John Fisher is going to do is unpredictable.
That, you know, I'll just say this and we'll let you go. Thank you so much. Neil's on the East Coast right now. And so, you know, we kept him up past his bedtime, but the Utah deal. Absolutely. Hey man, 9:30.
I'm done.
I'm getting ready. I'm doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, but that Utah deal just seems so obscene to me. The deal is they came to the legislature. They said, we're going to build this big entertainment district with or without the stadium. But if we do end up getting a stadium, then and only then you'll surrender all property tax and sales tax on this land to us so we can build you. It's, you know, that usually there's some facade of, oh, well, you know, we can't build this. We can't build any of this unless you give us the tax break. You know, we can't bring these jobs to the community unless you give us the tax break. They just went up and said, we're going to build this either way. And if we get a team, we're not paying taxes.
But that's the same thing. That's the same thing that's going on right now in Alexandria, Virginia, with the arena for the Capitals and the Wizards, right? Where they were going to build a development. And then it's like, oh, but if we get a stadium, then we can kick back all the money, you know, the tax money, and use it to pay for the stadium. And same thing with the White Sox, right? It's a big property in the South Loop in Chicago that they were been planning a big development. Oh, if we put a baseball stadium there, it will magically be so much better that, you know, we can, it'll be worth kicking back all, you know, billions of dollars. And It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense, right? I think what the team owners and their elected official friends are learning is that it's better to have a story that you stick with and that you can, you know, make into slides and, you know, with really big numbers. The numbers don't have to mean anything. The logic doesn't have to be there. None of it has to mean anything as long as you just keep repeating and repeating and repeating it. And so people who, you know, want to say, well, this would be nice, can say, well, I don't know. On the one hand, there's every economist in the country saying this is a terrible idea. On the other hand, there's this really pretty picture. I guess the truth must be somewhere in the middle.
Well,
who doesn't love
an
armadillo?
The Virginia Democrats who in the state Senate there who told them, I don't think so, but we'll see if they figure out a way to bribe them correctly. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, Neil DeMoss, thank you so much. Everybody, make sure to check out his work at fieldofschemes.com. He does a great job of covering this topic, not just the A's, like literally the whole country is all over it. I don't know how you keep all these numbers and information in your head, but great work over the years. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it, Neil.
Thank you. I'm glad to do this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Thanks again to Neil DeMoss for that great chat. And check out his work at fieldofschemes.com. Now me and Hal are going to chop it up and tell you guys how we really feel about the armadillo, the spherical armadillo. Hal, what would you give it out of 10? Out of 10, what would you give this rendering?
If it was my team, you know, I don't know, man. Like, so weird. It's, you know, I grew up going to, like, you know, Wrigley Field, and for all my life as a kid, there wasn't even a Jumbotron. You know, there wasn't even screens at Wrigley Field. So this gigantic freaking ribbon of a screen that seemingly is not visible to half the stadium. I mean, it's Vegas. You know, I give it a 10 out of 10 for being Vegas and a 4 out of 10 for being a baseball stadium, man. Well, you know,
I think it's like 8 out of 10 pool fact. Like, I think if they actually did that, it would be kind of cool. But I don't think, but I give it like a 2 out of 10 because there's no chance in hell this thing actually happens, you know, and the views aren't going to be the same. And I don't know, man. It's just another fake rendering, and they released it by accident because they had to, you know? So yeah, not great.
They take every opportunity to step on their own dicks, man. Like, releasing it a day early. Like, what are they doing, man? Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. And then today they had their press conference in a press release. Like, it was like, oh, this is the press conference they would have had, but we'll just write it down on paper. And I think they just canned the press conference. Yeah.
Boy. I don't know, man. I can't imagine it would be would be such a strange way to watch a baseball stadium, to be in that right field bleachers where the roof, like the ceiling behind you, is the is a Jumbotron flashing lights on you the entire time. I mean, I don't know, man. You live in Vegas, you're used to it. But
yeah, like we mentioned, I think it's like kind of influenced by the sphere, but also like SoFi Stadium's curved, but it's more like this, like it's horizontal, so it's not. But this is like it's vertical, like
curved over you.
Yeah, it's like you're in the middle of the stadium, and oh, okay, cool, you can look at it from both sides. But this is like, oh god, yeah. So I don't know, but I think Bjark Ingels is famous for his kind of outlandish renderings. And then I recently read that his materials aren't the greatest, and his buildings degrade over time and stuff like that. So, or like worse than they should. So, yeah.
We'll see. You know, I don't think it's like terrible. You know, I think if I was thinking, how am I going to sell a baseball team in Vegas? It would be put them in a stadium that looks like a foreign landmark, and have a bunch of crazy lights all over the place.
You got the pyramid. You got the you got all. Yeah, now you got the Sydney Opera House. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the big thing, if you're still listening to us and you're still thinking about stadium stuff, I think the big thing to look out for this week and possibly next week is what's going to happen with the Coliseum site. So this week, apparently, the A's are meeting with the African American Sports Entertainment Group, which, does not have any sports teams and does not have any entertainment and whatever. You know, I mean, listen, that site, the Coliseum site, should be developed. It's a lot of land. It's right next to the BART station. I want it to be developed. I want it to be a lot of housing. I want it to be a lot of good stuff. Yeah. But, I'm just worried. I'm worried in two things, right? That basically what we're doing is we're facilitating John Fisher to get a check for $150 million for selling it to the AASAG, right? And when we were talking to Neil here, you know, we were saying, where is John Fisher going to find this money? That's $150 million he can cross off the list if he sells that land. So, you know, I really hope, you know, I kind of hope that that the city and Alameda County doesn't make it that easy to sell that land, at least right now, you know, or try and get the land back. I mean, it's a bummer that the county was so stupid to have done that.
Yeah, I mean, but, I was going back and reading comments from Libby Schaff from, I think that deal was done in 2018 or 19, I believe, something like that. But she was saying, like, okay, like, because the A's were saying, oh, we're going to invest in East Oakland, we're going to make the community better, we're going to do all this stuff. And she was like, okay, well, don't take the money and run. Well, here we are 5-6 years later, and they're in a position where they can take the money and run, and literally they build the stadium because of this thing, you know. And it's I'll send a link out to that on Twitter, but it's going back and reading that article, I was like, oh, it exactly played out as you might expect, you know. So
yeah, and well, so I think the bigger thing and the thing that's sort of maybe more palatable for politicians, like a clearer vision, is, you know, the mayor clearly has said that she is not in favor of the A's staying unless we get a plan for an expansion team, which is basically telling the A's to get lost, right? Because they would make so much more money staying in Oakland between 2025 and 2027
they
because
have
of
to, I feel like they have
that
to.
RSN money. That's $200 million, man. Like, but I'm just really worried that other politicians in Alameda and in Oakland, I'm thinking Nate Miley, I'm thinking Rebecca Kaplan, you know, I'm really worried that they just want John Fisher to sell his land, and then they'll say, sure, whatever, you can keep playing there, you know, just pay for the conversion costs for the roots so we can also have the roots there. I'm just super worried about it. So I don't know if you saw, Alex, but over last weekend, I put together this email campaign to have people send emails to basically everybody in Nate Miley's office and, you know, everyone on the city council and the Alameda council, and just saying, like, hey, listen, what we don't want you to do is we don't want you, you know, we clearly as A's fans, what we want is expansion. You know, if you keep the A's for the next 3 years after 2024, we need to be offered an expansion team. And you know, people answered the call. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think about 1700 people you know, clicked the buttons to send people those emails. So all these people in those offices opened their email box and had 17,000 emails from A's fans. So, you know, I think I'll you know, tweet that out again and say, hey, you know, send this to your mom, send this to your dad, get more people to fill this out, just to get that going. But that's where my attention is coming up. But
well, one thing I thought was interesting about that too is, like, Summer of Cell documentary, they were sending out some information about how Nate Miley, like, basically they were insinuating that Nate Miley might be stalling the Roots deal because he's in cahoots with Fisher, who might be in cahoots with the Town FC, which is an offshoot started by an offshoot dude, Ben O'Nagle, from Oakland Roots. I know that's a lot of information going on, but basically John Fisher could also be trying to stifle the Roots. Right? Is that also a possibility by trying to get the Town FC into the Coliseum, right? I mean, or is this like tinfoil hat kind of stuff here?
I think it's close to tinfoil hat kind of stuff, but, like, also, you know, all these politicians love this AASEG guys. And, you know, the AASEG guys keep saying, we're gonna bring a new team to Oakland. And, like, you know, and they want to own a new team is what they want. They want to own a new team. So, the you know, building something for the Roots is not what AASEG is super excited about, I don't think, because they won't own the Roots. They won't own the Soul.
Shout out to the Roots for being community owned. That is so
they're
cool.
They're
coming
out. I'm an owner.
Yeah,
I'm an owner of the Roots.
I've been saving my money, but I need to get in. I don't know if they have another investment round coming up, but what?
They might have another investment round later, but I think
I should have got in the first one, but I needed my money in Mexico.
Listen, you send me $5, I'll sell you 1% of my
part share of a part share. That'd be great.
That's right, baby. But I think the worry here is that AASEG doesn't really have a plan for a team.
They got beat out by the WNBA by Joe Lacob's group. So who's gonna? Because I thought they were a real threat. I thought that was their biggest thing. If they could get a WNBA team, that could be actually, I feel like there's some promise there in the Bay Area. There's like a market for that here. But once Joe Lacob's group got that thing, I was like, dude, that was their biggest bullet. I don't know what they're going to bring here. Yeah.
I don't see where the AASEG is going to get a team, you know, right? Like, especially at the Coliseum site, like baseball, I don't think baseball is a good, like the Coliseum is a good site for baseball. They're not going to get an NFL team because
the ballers, you know, dude.
Unlike with the A's, the ballers fine, but like again, that's not a team that the AASEG is going to own, right? Like they want a team that they own. I think what the Summer Cell people were thinking is like the Town FC. That's that. There it is, right? They're going to try and do this thing with the Town FC, but like, you know, the women's professional, that premier women's professional league, they just got a team in the Bay, you know, like there's no logical team for them.
They're also going to be at PayPal Park, dude. So they're in cahoots with Fisher too. So the Bay FC.
Right. It just seems fishy, you know, it's just frustrating. The one thing that doesn't make sense is why haven't they just given the Roots and Soul closure and said, you're going to be playing at the Coliseum. Don't worry. I just, I don't understand. And I think that they're thinking, well, we don't, you know, maybe AASEG doesn't want, you know, because AASEG wants to get, you know, take the Coliseum down or whatever, man. I don't know. It's all so screwy. And I'm really worried that Rebecca Kaplan and Nate Miley are just going to kind of stab A's fans in the back here by allowing the A's to stay there and handing over $200 million to John Fisher. Because it's just handing him $200 million on a platter is just so gross. It's just so disgusting.
Isn't rent like $2 million? Isn't it rent absurdly cheap for them or something
presumably
like that?
What will happen is that the A's will say, oh, we'll pay you, you know, we'll pay you $10 million a year here. So look, you know, look, you guys each get $5 million a year, you know, well, you could do whatever you want with that. You know, you could create the Nate Miley crime fighting units. You could create the Rebecca Kaplan garbage cleanup patrol, you know, and with that $5 million, you know, to both of y'all, I'm not sure if I don't know if the mayor's office can block this. And I'm a little bit worried about it because I, you know, the mayor's office doesn't explicitly, you know, she doesn't have a seat on the Joint Powers Authority. I think she has a lot of soft power where, you know, if she says, no, this is a bad deal, don't take it, you know, that means something. But I'm worried about this. So I think, you know, I now have 17,000 emails of everyone who signed that up. I maybe less. Some people said don't share my email with Al, but I have a lot of emails from people. So you know, if there's concrete developments here and there's something we can do, you know, we might try and I was working with the Last Dive Bar to do this, so we might send out some messages saying, okay, we tried the emails. It's time to start calling Nate Miley's office. It's time to start calling Rebecca Kaplan's office. Let's get them in line, because I just think it would be such a it would be so, if A's fans are doing so much to organize to fight this, and then our politicians find a way for John Fisher to keep all that RSN money in Oakland, it just would be such a
like $210 million, about right, something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then minus the $30 million they have to give to Oakland, you know, it'll cost them some money to convert the stadium back and forth between the soccer and the baseball, you know, because I'm sure that they'll say, oh, you have to pay for that, the Roots aren't going to pay for that, but like, you know, ugh. You know, I want to starve John Fisher of money and force him to sell the freaking team, you know? So
we'll talk about Rebecca Kaplan. She actually retweeted my blog from today. She's been retweeting some of my content. So maybe we got to get her on the pod, man. Yeah. I would love to hear somebody from Oakland's thoughts, you know? So, yeah.
I had a fight with her today. She responded.
Maybe we won't have her.
So
on
maybe
the pod.
Not. Maybe not. So she keeps tweeting, you know, hey, it would always, you know, it's always easier to build in Oakland. It's easier, cheaper, and better to build in Oakland. Why don't you build in Oakland? And I just was basically saying, okay, you know, you've been saying that for years, you know, Ms. Vice Mayor, but you know, clearly they don't agree with you, right? If they agreed with you, they would have just built in Oakland. And I also don't think that that's really true anymore. If it's either the Las Vegas Strip or Howard Terminal at this point, you know, Port Priority
Vegas
has returned
is just like
would,
here, take our money.
There's,
like, yeah,
boom,
yeah.
Boom. Here, yeah, take, yeah. Take our money. You know, the Oakland was only offering money for like, infrastructure and saying you have to pay for everything, you know, all the stadium yourself. So, you know, I fundamentally don't think what she's saying is true. Even if it is true, it's certainly falling on deaf ears, right? And I just want her to fall in line with the mayor and say, we're, you know, we're going to fight for an expansion for the A's. And she clearly, you know, she clearly has heard that. We sent her a lot of emails. And she's heard, you know, me tell her that on Twitter a bunch, but that's why I'm worried. You know, it doesn't seem like, and this was Casey's deal with her, where they canceled a JPA meeting a few weeks ago for no stated reason. That was where they were going to get, you know, approve the roots and soul use of the Coliseum, and Casey, you know, tweeted at her, what's going on? Why don't you support the roots and soul? And she just sort of had a political answer of, I always support them, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't feel like I know where she stands. You know,
you're dying. Eating at your soul. I can see it.
I have a lot of hope for her. You know, you. Like, yeah. You know, I didn't, you know, I don't mean to be trashing her as much as I am. You know, I just want her to take a stand here, and I want her to take the stand that's with A's fans. And so, you know, I would love her to come on the pod. I'm not sure that she would want to. Maybe if I promise to just let you interview her, you know, but I, you know, I want to nail her down. Like, where does she stand on this stuff? Why don't we have Roots and Soul nailed down? Why isn't she saying the same thing that the mayor of Oakland's saying? I don't know. Yeah.
Dude, I wonder where Libby Schaff's doing these days. Just chilling on her couch?
That's a good question. I don't know what she's up to. Probably thanking her lucky stars that she is not in the position
she's
that...
She's like, all right, Shang, you can take
Mayor
this.
Tao
take
is. This. Yeah, Shang Tao is, I think... she's in trouble. she's getting hammered from all sides here. But, you know, I'll say this about Shang Tao. I think that, in general, she's been consistent. With her advocacy for the A's, I think she's made one or two missteps, but anyone, you know, I think she's gotten back to the right position. So as far as the A's goes, I think Shang Tao has been doing what she can. That's what I'll say about that.
You got anything else? I'm good. You got anything else you want to get off your chest? I mean, I think the whole expansion team is like another rabbit hole. I just don't think that's realistic, but you know.
Anyway. Well, I don't think it's realistic either. I think what that says to the A's is, if you think you're getting this $200 million, you got another thing coming to you. Like, that's right. You know, I think that there's like real ways to do it, you know, where people say, the A's could never promise that. And you say, that's fine. We'll put it in the contract that if the city of Oakland doesn't have an expansion team in 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, the A's, the John Fisher owes the city of Oakland $500 million or $1 billion. You know, John Fisher can agree to that, right? Like, that's something he can agree to, right? He can't. I understand that John Fisher cannot personally guarantee an expansion team, but you know, he can agree to a gigantic financial, you know, penalty if Oakland doesn't get it. And he's not going to agree to that. But the point is that $200 million should not be in John Fisher's pocket. Anyway, I'm getting heated. If you said there's one more thing off my chest, you know, everyone listening, you know, pay attention. I hope, and this is sort of not up to me as much as it's up to Schools Over Stadiums, I hope we'll get them on the pod soon. I hope that they're going to come out with a big push for the boycott, and I hope A's fans fall behind them, because I think that is sort of the one thing that we can do as a fan group. You know, it could fall apart for other reasons, but that's the one thing that A's fans can do as a fan group that would get everybody's attention, that would really mess with John Fisher. So I hope that happens. Schools Over Stadiums, if you're listening, you know, do the legwork, get it done. Let's go and let's get behind them. Okay.
All right, dude, that was a great pod, Hal. We've been on fire this past couple of weeks. I love it. We're back, baby. We're back. We're back.
Well, right. I got a lot of things to say, and I like the sound of my own voice.
I mean, I can't wait to see how this whole thing plays out. It's going to be really interesting. This is like a Shakespearean drama, and it's just like keeps on going and going. I love it. So. All right, I'll be back in a couple weeks and see you at opening day.
All right, see you soon.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.